This episode is sponsored in part by PTZ Optics. Why hire a camera operator when the control is in your hands? Visit ptzoptics.com for more information. And by NewTek, makers of the TriCaster TC1. Stun your viewers, not your accountant. Visit newtek.com for more information.
Hey guys, it's Thursday, so it's time for another edition of Broadcast Now, the show that talks about everything that has to do with live video, the internet, live streaming, and taking your money. No, I'm just kidding. We have with us, as always, we've got Mr. Marty McPadden from Podjam.tv. Welcome.
Hello, sir. How are you? Take my money. Oh, boy. Well, maybe we'll see what happens.
Hey!
Today, so.
Listen, audio is not important, so that's all I'm going to say on that. also, we have with us is the man, the myth, and the mystery, Mr. Greg Terry. Welcome.
Welcome to the program, Stephen. So I'm trying to do this.
Are you doing one of those bad Japanese horror flicks?
It's like an old Japanese film of Godzilla. And when you've got that kind of audio delay, get ready for a great hour. Thanks, Stephen.
Well, it's great to have you here, and we're already getting some comments here in the chat room. Why don't you go ahead and welcome some of the folks, since that's something
Holy
you do really
moly,
well.
Holy moly, Stephen, thank you. I'm seeing endless one up in here. Of course, Rainwater. He's dropping the audio is not important, eh? Okay, should be an interesting topic. He's taking care of the West Coast there in Washington State. Did somebody – did you see my mini fridge, Rainwater? How are you seeing my mini fridge? Come on. Endless One Up, Cryotech, welcome. D Santa, Hollywood Polo, Adam Cow with the big sup, gentlemen. And that's just over on YouTube. Let me jump over here for a second, Steven. I also saw Lindsay here somewhere, as always. And Cryotech, he's having some fried fish with some fries. Not bad. Looking forward to it. Hopefully we're a good compliment, and we'll continue talking to you guys throughout the night. So welcome to the program. It's going to be an awesome time dealing with some audio.
Well, and I wanted to kind of bring up a little bit of a preface as to why we're going to be talking about this. Next week, we have a special guest that's going to be either in studio or remote. We're not sure yet. Talking about broadcasting in schools. So if you know any educators that want to learn how to do this, make sure they tune in next week. That's the housekeeping for right now. But the premise behind this is last week we did a show, and I don't know if you guys were paying attention, but all of a sudden in the middle of the show, there was some crackling and garbling. And I'll be the first to admit, listen, sometimes things happen. And we didn't understand it because it sounded fine to us. But our community manager, Brad, he's like, guys, he's messaging me and Marty going, guys, it's crackling. Something's going on. And after the show, when we went off the air, we were trying to figure out like what happened, right? We went on and the guys hung on for a little bit afterwards, and I started, you know, trying different things, rebooting vMix, trying, you know, anything. Here it was the TriCaster. We had to go out of the session is what it's called, and go back into it. But then Greg says, you know what? You've got some other issues that we need to iron out. He says, I'm going to come over. And he overhauled all of my settings, and I'll let him talk a little bit more about, you know, a little bit what he did on it. But needless to say, it needed some work, right?
It needed a full surgery. I mean, this was basically a system that was on life support. So I am very thankful to the Tech Buzz for flying me into the Hubbard, Ohio International Airport. And I'm on an emergency basis. We rolled over and we performed a CPR event in the audio studio of the Wizard of Broadcasting, And he's now the Wizard of Audio. So yeah, it was, and we'll talk about it more as the program goes, but here's the deal on audio in a nutshell. This is audio 101. Everything must work together and complement each other. So whether you're dealing with audio, gain structure, EQ, compression, gating, anything in the entire system, microphone, lines, you have to look at that not just as individual components. So when I went into Steven's studio and we went through everything from the TriCaster to VMix to his Presonus board, his microphones, his cables, we went through it with a fine-tooth comb, and what we ended up with was not just a, let's just say it was 10 components coming together to get his audio coming through his microphone. Those 10 guys were on the same team, but they were not playing together well. So when it comes down to audio 101, the components, the players on the team, and we'll talk about it more in a little bit, in a little more detail here in a little bit, they all have to be working together, because if you have one piece that is messed up, and you know you've got big boys such as gain and EQ, but it doesn't matter. If your gain structure set great, your EQ is set great, but your noise gate and compression are messed up, it's irrelevant. So you have to look at it as like a family photo, and you got to bring all the family together in peace to get good audio.
And that was something, Marty, we even had, we called you up and said, hey, let's jump on there. Brad was saying in the chat room here that audio is low and he's wide open. But I think there's something to be said for that. Like, we tweaked this a little bit, and if you go too high on it, you don't get the true audio. You start getting, the audio starts overdriving, right? It starts to really not sound good. And I started saying to you, it was crackling and such when we were here, and here it was my speakers on certain syllables that was crackling. And when Marty, you got on,
we were in the studio and we were hearing some additional crackling, and I'm walking around with these wonderful headphones that the Wizard has, and I'm plugging into stuff, and I'm over checking a live stream. We've got Marty on there. We're doing all this different testing, and all of a sudden I unplug the headset and I go, dude.
No, you plugged it into the laptop.
Yeah. When I unplugged it, crackling was there. And we go, Steven, we've got crackling in the system we got to fix, but your MacBook is
it was
part of the problem.
It was crackling.
So we were hearing crackling that was not actually a part of the problem. That was just an external speaker there. But here's what happens when you've got all these different things going on, especially in the audio world, it will drive you bonkers trying to figure it out. And unless you're willing to put time in, and in all honestly, I like to make it entertaining, have some fun, but we literally went on a treasure hunt in Steven's studio on Monday, and I think we got it dialed in. We're getting there. It just takes a little bit of time, especially on the audio side.
And then, Marty, you were able to jump on and listen to it on your end, because obviously you can't hear me on the neural net system, the live to air, we're kind of screwed. So one of the things that we're also going to do, we're going to do some show and tell here as well. We're going to actually show you the parts of the board. But you know for a fact, you're doing podcasting, audio is really important.
Yeah, very, very important. You really and think of it, and I know Greg's going to go into this a little bit, but the analogy I like to use, and people have probably heard this when you first get into audio, think of it as a chain, and that's really what you call it. You call it an audio chain because there's various ingredients and aspects to it, and how you build out that chain really matters. And also your end level, like we were talking before the show, you know, keeping your levels within check. And there's all kinds of standards. You know, in podcasting, it's usually -16 on the dB overall loudness, and there's different techniques to get that. But what you were talking about, Stephen, was the difference between clipping, and I think the issue you were having last week with the TriCaster was some type of other internal issue. I don't know if it was clipping. That's another mistake people make, is they set their audio way too high. They set it up way too high. And in digital, analog's different. Analog's, you just get distortion. But everyone's digital now. Digital, that's when you hear that little crackle. I'll try to peak my audio here. So if I turn up my audio and I talk really loud, I'm clipping right now and it's crackling. That's obviously you don't want to have that. So you want to be careful about that. And I know, you know, Greg's going to get into this a little bit more details, but yeah, it's all about that overall chain and adding different things. And I would say this, you know, as Greg goes through this, keep it simple to start. It's like building a house. Keep your foundation simple. And you know, again, it's all about the foundation, as you'll see later, your setup. And then as you add different things to it, make sure you understand what each thing does, what it adds, and maybe what it doesn't add, or maybe what it takes away. So I'll leave it at that.
That's something that we ran into. They're saying in the chat room, Rainwater was saying, if you go on a treasure hunt in Steven's studio, you'll also find 18 Guitar Hero guitars. He's not kidding. That there is a true statement there. But
the NBA Jam's gone. I put that in my trunk.
He put it in his trunk. But there's a lot of things in my studio that the audio routes through, not just the TriCaster. I mean, it's coming from the board. So one of the big things that you had to do is kind of, well, you haven't used my Personas in a long time. You used the Behringer X32 at the church.
Yeah, I was delivered from Personas about 6 or 7 years ago, and I've not went back to that. Personas is good stuff, but next thing we're going to do is we're going to update Steven's board and system there on the audio side with my guy, who Chris, and we'll get him on here in the future. He's a master when it comes to audio. But yeah, we had to go on a hunt, and Steven, you know, I'm noticing right now that, you know, I'm reading the chat and guys are hearing the volume, you know, and there's multiple comments where the volume is getting better. So just for a live experience tonight, before we get into all this stuff and the diagrams and talking about the marriage of components, are you doing something? Are you adjusting compression? Are you bumping gain?
I have been bumping up in. Remember, we had 5 dB set inside for Master and TriCaster inside of VMix.
Yes, sir.
I bumped them from 5 to 10, and I hope there's not any kind of issues with that on the live stream. But the audio should be significantly different. If people are wondering if it's getting louder,
I think you're getting there because you're getting lots of good comments. So here's the deal. You know, you guys have watched Steven, you've watched Marty for years. You know these guys are pros. I'm new to the community and enjoying every minute of it. You know the equipment is there. You know the gear is there. You know the experience is there. The expertise is there. Even if the expertise is not there, for example, on audio, we know who to get in touch with to get the information or the help needed. So you've got that good community, and I'm also looking here at the chat for, you know, the community that we are building and re-grooming this Broadcast Now experience. So what I'm seeing and what you're seeing is even right now in a live broadcast, we're able to do some tweaking on the audio. And what's cool about that is Steven knew where to go tweak even during the live stream. So he threw it to Marty. He's over adjusting audio. I'm reading the chat, and you guys are going, hey, we're getting there. We're getting there. So yep. We appreciate that. But here's the deal. You got to know your equipment. And Just like Steven was talking about, honestly, I mean, I think a treasure hunt is the best way to describe it. When we got there and started diving into Steven's system, you literally have to start from ground zero. And that was all the way down to physical cables. We were looking to find the issue. And in audio, here's the deal. Never panic. Never panic. Because it is going to be a logical solution in the end. If you are a musician, a broadcaster, a streamer, whatever it may be, and you have a problem. I lead worship at a church. I travel a lot. I'm a piano player, jazz musician, all this stuff. And when I'm traveling and we have an issue with audio, we never panic. I've trained the guys. Panic is the enemy. This must be logical. And you have to know your system where you can start going through the checklist. With Steven's system, we created our own checklist, and we went from ground up. So whatever your system is in your home, your business, your studio, if you're on the professional level or you're on the growing level, as you add equipment,
right,
learn that equipment, especially on the audio side. It's very, very important.
Well, and that one of the first things that you asked me when you got into the studio was, okay, I need to know your layout. I need to know from the mixer, where does the audio go? And then, we came over to the TriCaster. I showed you where I had my settings for that. And you're like, nope, put it at zero. Then you said, where does it go after the TriCaster? We said it went over to the VMix machine. And you were like, okay, where's that set at? And I was like, I don't know, negative 15. I'm just throwing that out there because I don't remember what it was.
Right.
And you're like, put it at zero. You had me go back to zero for everything. So that way you could start from the board and start pulling out everything that needed to happen. And guys, if you're sticking around here, I want you guys to stick around, because if you've thought about buying an audio mixer, but you've been kind of a little bit on the scared side about how it works, we're going to walk through it. We have a diagram here that I'm going to be drawing on and all this other cool stuff, showing you how this works between Greg, myself, and Marty. We're going to walk you through it so you understand. If you want to get a mixer, I don't care what platform you're using. If you're using a free platform, OBS, vMix, Wirecast, whatever it is you're using, we want to help you understand how the mixer works. And between the three of us, like I said, I know enough to be dangerous. I can make sound. But Greg can teach you how to EQ, go through stuff like that. Marty can talk to you about all different parts of the board as well. So we'll give you an overview of how this works. So if you're looking to buy a mixer, we can help you learn how to do that. And I think, what would you think, Greg? You know, your first time you look at a board, you're kind of like, oh man, where do I start, right?
Yeah, well, throw that image back up there for me, Stephen.
Absolutely.
So here's the deal, guys. If you're looking at this board, some of you probably there are going, oh, okay, well, you know what, that's an old analog board. I'm going high-tech digital in my studio. Doesn't matter. That is just a representation. So whether you're analog or digital, these components, so as you look at each channel, and that's a 22-channel board, 24-channel board with the auxes over on the right, those are called strips. And that's why the line is there. You start at the top, it goes straight down. You can see inputs, you see gain structure, you see EQ, you see subgroup assignments, all these different inserts, which for loop effects, whatever. But the bottom line is, whether you're going to have an analog board, you know, because there are lots of guys out there even now that go, oh, I hate digital boards. I can't get that warmth. Okay. But most guys are going the digital platform. Regardless of analog or digital, you're still going to be dealing with this same strip per channel. And you have to actually know what the buttons do. You know, when we train guys here, and I actually travel quite a bit when things are normal, lots of churches have me come in and I'll train their musicians, or I will work with their sound departments and help them get set up. I just did a church right before COVID in Reno, Nevada. Fantastic church. We renovated their entire system, and I actually went in on a Thursday. We had ordered all the equipment on Friday, but they were having this setup. And they were doing their rehearsal, and I just wanted to kind of go in and watch them. And I walked into the back into the sound booth, and listen, this is a nice church. I mean, high tech, good people, good musicians. It's Reno, Nevada. Okay. Fantastic place. And I'm watching the sound engineer, and I go in the booth, and I said, what you doing, buddy? And he goes, I'm mixing them. I said, okay. I said, how are you doing that? He goes, well, I'm turning that knob up there at the top. I said, what knob? The one at the top. That's how I turn the volume up and down. I said, oh.
Boy.
I said, okay, you're mixing on the gain button. Oh, yeah, that thing works good. I said, we're going to have a great weekend together. Once we set things, you're never going to touch that knob again. But that's the point. You have to learn. And I didn't bash him.
Sure.
We had a great time. We're a great relationship. I've been back there many times. People just don't know, you know? So this is the important part of having a show like this. And I'm sure this will open the can of worms and we'll have more about audio. But you have to know your equipment. Remember, the family photo, the family portrait, you have to have the family working together. We'll talk more about those components later.
And
I got you.
And Marty, you also used an analog board for a while, but you changed to a digital board, but you use the same concept, right?
Right. I have a, in the back there, I have a Behringer, I forget. I like 6, 12
isn't it the
20,
24 channel?
Something like that, sitting back there under a cover. I'm actually using a Rodecaster Pro, which is mainly used for podcasters, and it's just a 4-channel. It's just very simple. My needs are not as complex. I don't have a lot of mixing needs, so I use a very simple board. I can bring into broadcast here. It works well with my day job and my business. But that the diagram that you brought up there, and what Greg was mentioning about channel strips, I think this is where people, he mentioned a little bit, this is where people get overwhelmed. That's what I use there. So the Rodecaster Pro, it's not the cheapest thing in the world. There are other things out there. I like it because it has, you can record on, it's kind of all in one unit. It's pretty good because you can record on SD cards. You can, those pads on the right, you can have sound effects. If you're running multiple mics and you're recording with a bunch of people, you have 4 different headphones. Amplifier, so it's nice for podcasting. Also can use it with live streaming. The thing I like about it is you have analog out for audio, and you also can output it as, in fact, the price went down. That's used. Okay, that's actually a pretty good price.
Oh, is it used? I just looked up.
Yeah, no, but that's actually a good price used. But the thing I like about it, and I think for most people, is it's an all-in-one unit. It sits right on the desk. And you have the analog out, and also you have USB out, digital out, meaning that you can put it into a computer. So it's really set up well for podcasting, for live streaming. But getting back to that diagram that you had up of the traditional mixer, I think a lot of people get intimidated by that because they see all these knobs and buttons and look at it as an overall thing. Oh, what am I going to do with all these buttons? And they think of the buttons all as individual things. And Greg did a really good job as far as describing really what you're looking at there is you're looking at a series of channel strips. So really all break it down to just that one strip for that one input and know what each section does. And even that'll break it down and make it a little less intimidating. And as I think Greg's probably going to go through that, where you have the, you'll have the insert section, you'll have the gain section, you'll have it. Most boards have some type of EQ, maybe a 3-channel EQ. They may have an aux send on there, but the channel, you go right down the line, and it's the same exact setup for each. And you may have a 24 channel board, but it's the same thing. So the way to think about it is, there you go, break it. Now that's a lot less intimidating, right? I mean, that's really what a mixer is. It's just that one strip multiplied by how many channels you have. So you have the last thing you have is the fade. People are familiar with the fader. And it has a little indentation there for unity, and we'll get into that. But the fader is the last thing you do. Then you have, like, it looks like pan, meaning if you have a stereo input, you can pan left and right. You have aux, looks like an aux send there.
Yep, aux.
So your control, you can, aux sends, that's a whole other thing. Looks like an EQ section there where you have maybe 3 or 4 different channels of EQ. You have the gain there. Gain, we'll talk about that. That's how you set it up. And then that looks like an insert.
Insert in the line,
Insert, and then the actual line in, and then the mic in. And a line level and mic level, that's a whole other thing, where those are 2 different levels and all that. But I like how you did that there. Looking at it like that, I would think for even the most beginner, it's a lot less intimidating. And that's really all a mixer is a series of channel strips.
And that was something that, why we wanted to break it down for you guys, because when you have something like this, like Greg said, it was like a 24 channel. It was just a graphic that was high res that I could grab off of, Google. But all the mixers, like I have a digital board, but essentially the concept is still the same. It's just in different places. Is that fair enough to say, Greg? It's just in different locations depending on the digital board.
Correct. Here's the deal. I think Marty said it perfectly. You know, if you look at a board, you're just overwhelmed. And most folks feel that, well, I'm broadcasting, I'm streaming, I've got to get my picture perfect, I've got to make sure my lighting is great, But I've got news for you. If you have the greatest 8K video in the world and your audio is trash, nobody's going to watch.
Right.
So when you take time behind the scenes, this is a Broadcast Now program. We're talking to broadcasters. You're working behind the scenes before you bring your content, your program to the public. You know, you break it down into three main areas. You know, you got the video side, which is camera and lighting. You've got the audio side, which is your mic or your external audio inputs you're going to use for the experience. And then, of course, your content. And what I've learned, whether it be for streamers, content creators, churches, DJs, whatever it may be. Believe it or not, DJs. Many times DJs are worried more about having good lights than having good sound. And it just doesn't work. So if you're in a workflow preparing for your broadcast, for your streams, divide your time up. So, okay, this week I'm going to work on the sound. I'm going to stream to an unlisted YouTube video, and I'm going to do a five-minute clip. I'm going to go back and listen to it, and then I'm going to adjust it. He said, well, what am I adjusting? Well, that's the learning curve, which, you know, we're going to help you tonight and in weeks to come, I'm sure. And of course, there's plenty of resources out there on YouTube. And then you equally work on the video and content. And when you put time in, you know, and that's what we did Monday. We just hit the pause button. I jumped in the vehicle and rolled over to Steve and said, we got to fix this. And literally, we went through it. I guess the best way to say it, Steven's with a fine-tooth comb.
Yeah, and it was great because the three of us were able to sit down. I told Marty ahead of time, hey, do you got some time around, you know, noon? Can you jump on with us? And because I need to do this for my job. It's not just for doing this, right? I'm producing for my job, producing for, you know, things like that. So it's great that we did have to make adjustments today because it gives them an opportunity to see. I think you were right on, both you guys, for saying, you know, let's do this now. And everybody's saying that sounds great. Everything's rolling. But I think that's the most daunting, part is they'll see a microphone and they'll get a USB microphone and they're like, dang, I wish I could do other stuff with it, but they don't have a mixer. And just because you have an expensive microphone doesn't mean your sound is going to sound that good. I mean, my sound, if you listen to my sound last week, my audio, and then listen to what Greg did to my microphone this week, it sounds tremendously different. You can hear the proximity effect when I get up on the side of that microphone.
Yeah, baby,
you can hear it. You know, Barry White, eat your heart out. So,
oh boy,
I don't know if we're gonna go to the Barry White world yet. I mean,
slow down.
Disrespect Barry White.
Sorry, good. I had to.
I mean, it's
I had
solid.
To break that a little bit.
Bro, you know,
that was a compliment to you.
Planet is Barry White.
I know, but that was a compliment to you. So
no, thank you. I appreciate that. But we worked together on it.
Yes,
you know, you had already worked through your cables. You know, guys, just think about this for a second. This all I can keep reiterating because we only have an hour program. Man, 30 minutes have already gone by, but the family portrait. I just want you to remember that tonight. That's the best picture I can give you. So let's just think for a moment. This gain structure that we're talking about. So in a nutshell, gain structure on your audio is the level that you set where all of your peripherals work together perfectly to give you the proper signal flow to get to your output. That's what it is. It is a working together. So on Steven's setup, he not only on that PreSonus board had gain structures that were, is it okay to be
no,
honest?
Just you throw it out there. Go ahead. Because,
go for it.
Okay. Well, before he says
incorrect.
That, before he says that, nobody taught me audio. Okay. I just did it. You know, I watched YouTube videos. I learned from different people and I did it. And you even said, it was bad, but it wasn't as bad as some of the things that you've seen. Like, I actually made it work for as bad as it was.
Oh, it was great, man. I mean, it was, well, it wasn't great. It was okay.
It was okay.
It was okay. But Stephen, you've got so much going on, you know, yeah. It's hard for you to focus that time on that audio. So you say, hey, man, can you come over and help me? That's what teamwork's about. That's what Broadcast Now is about. If I've got a mastering question or a post-production or a podcast, I'm going to call Marty. You see what I'm saying? This is how this all works together. Yep. So I went over there, and the first thing I looked at was your gain structure was completely wrong. Number two, and this is a pro, guys. This is the wizard.
Well, wait. Talk about when you say the gain structure was wrong. Give an example of that. Tell them what you saw and why you said it was wrong.
Boy, that's a long pause.
Well, he's trying to be nice about it, but just go with it.
In general, on the back of a Personas board, you have a master gain. Okay. Steven was treating that as a volume knob, in all honesty, trying to get the gain out he needed, and he was doing what anybody normally would do. Oh, I need to increase the whole volume. Let me just go on that back and turn that master up. But what it was doing was it was destroying, honestly, the entire gain structure of the entire board. So I saw that his entire master gain coming from the Personas was way too hot. You say, well, he wasn't getting enough signal. Well, he wasn't getting enough signal because all of his gain structures from the master gain coming out from the Personas, then there it is, then married to the individual channel strip gains were all out of whack. So what was actually happening was Stephen was getting an over-processing coming out, and then he was trying to hit enough signal to his microphone, which actually would never give him enough gain anyway, because that mic, what is it, the PR40?
Yes.
It needs a cloud lifter. I'm using an SM7B. Don't even connect it if you don't have a cloud lifter, because all you're going to do is beat your head against a concrete wall trying to get enough gain out. So remember,
I'm going to ask the question, what is a cloud lifter?
Okay, so a cloud lifter.
I know people are asking that. Yep. Yeah.
Okay.
You talk, I'll pull it up.
Yeah, go ahead and pull it up.
What does that do?
So a cloud lifter is basically a box. And here's your signal flow. Here's your signal chain. You come out of your microphone with an XLR cable. You come into the cloud lifter. You come out of the cloud lifter. There it is. And you, with another XLR, go directly into your board. What that cloud lifter is typically doing is it is giving you generally a 20 dB gain increase. It's a mic activator. And on a lot of these microphones today that are used, whether it's the SM7B or the PR40, it is a completely clean, noise-free amplification, as you saw there actually on the listing, for getting enough signal for these big-time microphones to get to the board. So you have signal coming. Then you have to marry it to the gain structure, which is the top button on the strip, the top knob on the strip, which for the Personas, then you also marry it to the master gain out. Now you've got your gain coming in. You've got your level coming in. Maybe some of you, let me throw this out there. You have an XLR cable, right? It's a three prongs. It's a balanced signal. And you're coming to your board at your house, and you're saying, or your studio, and you go, oh, man, my board will only take a quarter inch input, you know, the phono plug. And then you say, oh, I'll go get a converter. You get a converter and you plug that XLR in that converter and it switches it to a quarter inch input, and you jam it in the board, and all of a sudden you go, it doesn't sound the same. Sure. Anything you add to that line experience is going to limit the line signal coming through. So this is just, honestly, we're just scratching the surface. So we had to initially get that gain level set properly. Then, let's make it easy. I just started working down the channel strip. But remember, the first thing we did was with TriCaster and VMix, we set them to nominal, which is unity, which is that zero on your mixer. We got that right. Then we started gain structure. And then I started going down the channel strip. We had to re-EQ the microphone. And honestly, a lot of the EQ work I did helped out tremendously. And, you know, I don't want to just keep going here, but let me just say this and then I'll throw it back to you guys. People look at EQ and, you know, these are all major shows within themselves, but they look at EQ and you have no clue what you're looking at. And that's not disrespectful. I didn't either when I started learning it. And you, oh, okay, I got a low, got a low mid, got a mid, and I got a high. And okay, well, let me just turn this till it sounds right. Well, here's what I would encourage you to do. A couple of things. Do a Google research. Just type it into Google. What frequencies do male voices or female voices, what band do they cover? What spectrum are they in? So typically, you know, voices are around that 400 hertz up to the 1 to 2 kilohertz, and you're EQing in that section. Because if you're up EQing in frequencies where the process is not even coming through, you're doing nothing. The other thing is that I really want to encourage you, in line with EQ, there's a thing on that strip also called many times a high pass filter. And it's kind of goofy because a high pass filter will actually cut low frequencies. It's kind of opposite, even though it's called a high pass filter. What that does is it, there we go. Thanks, Steven. There we are, folks. And you say, oh, I can't look at all those graphs, whatever. You have to. And just kind of analyze and learn in slow little bites. But the high pass filter, honestly, is your best friend because it takes out all that low that is not even in your vocal anyway. And it just cleans up the channel. Remember, family portrait. And then, of course, we get into a whole different world with compression, noise gating, and effects. Maybe, you know, for me on vMix, I run VST3 plugins to get different presences on the mic. The bottom line, and I saw somebody earlier on the chat, who was it? Endless One Up, talking about, yeah, condenser mics and all this, but he was talking about the insert. Insert a little is where you can insert an external peripheral equipment or signal flow into that channel strip for processing or even other things. I mean, honestly,
this might be a multi-port.
Each one of those things is a show.
Yep. And I wanted to put this out to you guys. This week, I was accepted into Amazon to be able to stream as, I hate to use the word, but that's what they call it, influencer. But my point with this is, I'm going to put a link here in the chat room of all the different gear that Amazon sells that I use. And as we, you know, proof it, like the Cloudlifter Greg mentioned, I'm using not the Cloudlifter brand. It's about half the price of it. So if you...
It's fantastic.
If it sounds like something that you want, I'm going to put a link in there to my storefront. It's all broadcasting gear. There's some arcade stuff for you guys, arcades, like LED lights and stuff, like broadcasters. You can use it behind your TVs and things like that. But I want to put that out there because this is a lot. This is a lot to take in. And as we get into the board, this is an episode you want to listen to over and over again, especially if you're, because this is just as huge as video. We talk about video. But as Greg and Marty are saying, and you could spend the whole show, right, Marty, talking about this one subject.
Yeah, I mean, I would say, and I know you kind of had a plan words there with the title of the show, a little link bait there. The audio is not important. Our friend Mike Phillips, that's his famous line. We kind of took it from him. But it's kind of like it's kind of being sarcastic, and it's audio is everything. So I always tell clients and anybody starting out, if you're going to start with one component of your show, make sure you really dial in the audio, because people are, especially if you're doing live streaming or video, people are much more willing to forgive maybe some crackling on the video, maybe not quite right lighting, maybe have a, if you're streaming, maybe you have a little internet interference. But if the audio is wrong or if the audio is off, it's, you know, that's where you, that's where it all starts. That's the foundation, you know, and there's so much to unpack what Greg just went through with the mixer, and each one of those things that he mentioned is a show. The compression is, there's a whole, we could do a whole show on just compression and limiting and a gate. I mean, maybe that's one show. The EQ is a whole show. And when you mention the high pass filter, it's funny. Yeah, it's like you're basically passing the highs and getting rid of the lows. And the principle behind, the principle behind that is anything below like 60 hertz is not even heard by human hearing. So get rid of the frequency. You're too cleaning it up. Yeah, and because you're just getting rid of frequencies you're not using. And an EQ is about taking away and adding. So it's all dB. And so you also got to watch your levels there. It can get pretty geeky, and we should get into that because you brought up some really good overall points with that. The thing I want to mention and really make sure that people understand what Greg was saying going down that channel strip is so important to set up the gain stage. And when he was saying unity on your board with the fader, there's always a spot there where it's zero. All your faders should be at zero. And then you adjust your gain and make sure you gain where you want as far as what levels you want to be peaking at. Once you get that set, then that gain knob, you should not have to touch it. The fader then becomes your fine control. If you need to lower or boost it a little bit, you can ride what's called riding the fader sometimes if you don't have a lot of compression or expansion on the audio. The compression does help even, that's a whole other thing, even things out. And I don't want to get too far in the details here, but I would say this, if you're just starting, it's a process, right? So get that gain state. That's the first assignment, is when you first get into audio, get your unity right, get your gain structure right. Just do that. Don't even worry about compression or limiting or expansion or plugins or anything like that to start. But get that right, because everything else, and that's your foundation. Everything else flows from that, and then we can get into other things. But guys, maybe we have to do like a whole series of shows on this stuff.
Because I think after next week, I think that's what we can do. But Greg, before you get into anything else with that, Rainwater, and I didn't grab the comment, but he's in here. I know he is. He wanted to know the difference between gain and level. And I thought that was a really good question that I don't think a lot of people understand.
I am so glad you asked. I saw that question on the chat. Of course, Steven and Marty and I are like, you know, in harmony, rolling and flowing here. I knew Steven's going to ask that question. So here's the deal. Gain and volume, you have to kind of think about them opposite. Gain is how much level you're putting into the input, which of course does affect what you hear on the output, but gain level is what signal you're pushing through that strip. Can you put the strip back up for me, Steven?
It's like the amplification of the strip,
correct.
Right?
Like the top the top of the funnel.
Correct. So let's think about it this way. That top knob, when that is at the proper level, it will then send enough signal to process the signal properly for the output. Now, yes, you can crank gain. It'll seem, and in reality, the volume is going up. But why does distortion and all this stuff happen when I'm turning the gain up? It's because you're overprocessing that entire channel strip. So the gain is how much juice is being sent to that strip. The fader is how much juice is being sent out of that strip. So these two things marry together. Now, for those of you, you know, Marty was spot on. This is going to be a multi-series program here. And I look forward to it. And we'll get even some.
Yeah, we'll get Chris on
here to help
explain
it. Yep. Exactly. But let's say you're at home now and you're saying, okay, guys, this is good. Marty, you're right. I'm going to start from ground zero. I want to get my gain right. Folks, it's the best advice you could get tonight out of this hour program. Don't even worry about EQ if your gain is not right. Do not worry about compression and noise gate if your gain is not right. And you're saying, okay, how do I set that gain? Well, the way you want to set that gain is most streaming platforms right now, and this is just initial starting. Most streaming platforms right now, whether it be OBS or VMix or you know, whatever you're using, it doesn't matter. They will have an audio mixer. And on that audio mixer, you see a meter. When I'm talking in a normal voice like I am right now, my meter is bumping right below nominal. I'm watching it. I'm clipping up to about, I'm not clipping, I'm sorry. I'm coming up to about negative 6 dB. And, it, you know, on most monitors, it will be like dark green and then a little lighter green and then a bright green and then it will go yellow and then it will go red. Here it is in a nutshell. How do you set the gain? Start with your gain at 12 o'clock. Always start at 12 o'clock. Don't start at 3 or 4 o'clock. Start at 12 o'clock. Work on your signal processing with that. Then go into your internal software, and then you are looking at the signal that is coming into your channel strip. For me, on my vMix that I'm sending Steven over the neural net or live to air, my gain structure is perfect. I'm sending it to him. When I'm talking normally, it is giving me that bright green that is just right under nominal, minus 6, minus 4 dB.
Show
know,
nominal.
If I really need to get on it like I'm getting on it right now, I'm only bumping into the yellow. You will not hear my mic distort. I mean, folks, I am ripping it now. Absolutely ripping it. And I cannot touch the red. If you see red, you're dead. Why am I not touching the red? Because my gain structure is right, and then my noise gate and my compression is grabbing it and pushing that signal, that gate back down. It's like, oh, nope, that's too much. We're not going to let you override the channel. And it gives me as a broadcaster, I want to just be gentle and easy. My gain structure is right where I know you're hearing me perfectly right now. Sure, I want you to go, hold on, what's he saying? This must be very important. He's talking really slowly and quietly. But you know, if I need to make that point and jump right on it, still didn't screw anything up. My gain structure set right. So that's it in a nutshell. That's how you set it. Use your meters, and it's the best starting place. And remember, set you up an unlisted video. Go record 5 minutes. Go listen and then adjust. How you do it.
You talked about Unity. Before we go any further, I want you to kind of finish that up with this. I drew a circle around on this board because I know it distorts when you go up there. But you can see there's like a little white box inside of this red circle that I put here. And then there's a line. I went over top of the white line. But that's U or zero. Unity or zero. Explain Unity. Because right now where they have, let me get rid of my line here and my fader. Right now, they have that buried. They should not have that buried like that. That is, if your mixer looks like that, it is wrong.
So, Marty, you want this one?
Sure. So, Unity, okay. Yeah. So, Greg, you brought up a really good point. In fact, just to clarify what you were doing with the mic, since you have compression set right and all the other little good, you know, again, we can get in the compression in another show. But you notice what Greg was doing. If you didn't have a compressor, when Greg was shouting, it's the dynamic range would be too much, and it would clip on the high end. So when he talked, in fact, when I'm talking loudly, I can raise my voice and then lower my voice, and my volume, my actual loudness probably stays the same. I'm looking at my meters, right around negative 15. Yeah, and I can talk loud and soft. And, you know, so I have some compression on there, that enables it kind of evens things out, especially with broken voices. And what it comes in handy is if you're doing a radio show or a video show where it's mostly spoken voices, that you don't need all that dynamic range on a human voice. And it has a lot of benefit because if you're emphasizing something, at least you're not clipping. If you're clipping, then you're getting all distortion, but that's for another show. But the Unity is, again, go over that on your fader bar, and the mixers are a little different. There's always a marking for zero, and so you always want to start there. And what Greg was saying as far as then you adjust your gain and each channel strip. So if you plug in like channel one, you plug in a microphone, so you plug in this mic, you set your fader at zero, and then you're adjusting your, and Greg, I thought, said it right as far as a starting point of 12 o'clock. And then you're just looking at your meters is where you want your, where you want your peaks are, you know, so your peak, you know, I think that's a good thing. You're peaking at about -6 on your peaks, mm-hmm. and then maybe a little lower as far as your average, but your unity on your fader stays at 0 and just adjust that gain. And then you get it dialed in, and then that's it. And then if you need to make any kind of little adjustments, or say if you're mixing for a, you know, a group and you have various people on mic and you're on the board, you do all that gains, you set it all up at unity, you set your gains. And then if someone, yeah, maybe you don't have a lot of compression on there, and if you need to ride the, what's called riding the fader, meaning you have to have your hand on the fader, go up and down a little bit, that's where you make your fine adjustments during the show. And if you, so if I'm a little low, if I need to go up, I can always go up on my fader or bring it down a little bit. But I know my, I should be right around that 0. So I shouldn't have to move it that much if I have everything set up right. But that's when you ride your fader. Your fader is not meant to add amplification. There's no gain in the fader. It's called a fader for the reason, because it fades. It takes away. The gain actually adds power, adds, you know, same thing with the cloud. Mm-hmm. When we were talking about the cloud lifter, that, what's great about that is that adds clean gain. That's no noise in there. So if you have a mic like this and Greg's 7B that is gain, what's called gain hungry, and it's because of the dynamic microphone, there's no power to the mic. And that enables you to use it in a non-studio environment, but it needs a lot of gain because you're actually, your voice is actually pushing the element manually. There's no power to it. So you need something to add a little extra gain to it, and you need clean gain. You don't get a lot of noise. Your board might also have gain too, but depending on your board, I don't know what the quality of your preamps are or whatever, but that's the value of that. And then you're starting out with gain. Then you have, you want to keep that gain nice and clean. Everything's set and then everything is organized and using it properly. So I don't know, you guys, they see beginners and they don't know, and they're riding that fader and they're using it like a gain, and that's not how you're supposed to be using it.
Well, and Rexer threw this out here, and I don't know who wants to take this, but you know, have you guys talked about the limiter as a tool to avoid clipping? Marty, I don't know if you feel
we're
like
we're going to get into that on a different show, but yes, Rexer, you know, compression and limiter work together, and noise gate, all of these are tools, you know, that we're all using, I'm using, but those are shows within their cells and very important. So yes, we have discussed some compression and limiting and noise gating, but here's the deal. We're gonna go back to the family picture. That's been kind of my motif in just this initial episode dealing with audio. Family picture. Let me ask you a logical question here. What does unity mean? Forget audio. What does unity mean?
Right.
Unity means that we are in one, you know, one mind, one accord. We are co-laboring together. So in the audio world, unity is when all the peripheral equipment, everything, we started with gain structure tonight, but then, you know, board, you know, especially back in the day of when you had peripheral equipment with EQs and compressors and whatever it may be, when these pieces are working in harmony together, where if you removed one piece from the equation, the signal flow would not change. That is the definition of unity. Makes absolute sense. So when you are working through your signal processing, you do not want your signal on your microphone or audio files you're playing to be dependent upon one piece of equipment that makes it or breaks it. That's not unity. Unity is when you're taking all these pieces of the family portrait, you're putting them together, and in harmony, all musical terms, in harmony, they're working together to give the right audio picture. You know, so it's very important in dealing with a lot of churches and even DJs. There was always, especially, you know, 25 years ago, 2015, and now these are available as plugins, or you can get the hardware if you want. But there was a piece of equipment made by BBE that was called a Sonic Maximizer. You guys ever heard of a Sonic Maximizer?
Oh, yeah.
So, exactly.
Boom and sizzle.
We
as
got the pro in here now.
Yeah,
that's exactly right.
Makes a really good point. Yeah.
Absolutely.
About the noise floor.
I can remember where churches would go out and say, okay, our sound stinks, but if we go get a Sonic Maximizer, we can then kind of adjust the frequencies on the Sonic Maximizer, boost the lows, do whatever, and we can get the experience that we want. But what happens is, yeah, it was helping, but the reality, it was just a Band-Aid on a mess. Remember, sound, structure, gain structure. And Chris, I saw your question on there. Do I mix with the gain knobs or the faders? Yeah, we rolled on that one about 30 minutes ago with an example from Reno.
I knew he was trolling.
Chris was helping me on that project. But here's the deal. Remember, it's the family portrait of audio mixing. And, you know, putting a Band-Aid on it, or, oh, I can't fix this, let me just gate the mess out of this. In the end, you're not going to have the best experience possible. Remember, everything starts with proper signal flow, proper cabling, proper gain distribution, which is that input coming into that signal flow so that your output can come out clean. It's the family portrait. That's what I'm calling it.
So Rexer, to answer your question in a longabout way, if you're using a limiter to get rid of distortion, you're essentially putting a Band-Aid on it. And I was actually doing that for a couple weeks because I had some issues, which is how Greg and I got talking about this. It was a Band-Aid. I knew it was a Band-Aid. Didn't want to keep it that way. In fact, the day before I started messing around, I even said to Greg, I said, hey, I put a limiter on this, and I gated it. And I said, now that noise has gone away. But I know it's a Band-Aid. But like you said, if I had to go live, I could have. No problem. Because I needed it for work. Until you were able to get there and take a look. But it's not something that you really want to do. No, Chris, we're saving the EQ techniques for when you're able to come on and you and Greg can piggyback. Go ahead, Marty. Sorry.
No, that's a great analogy. The band, that's exactly what it is. I mean, ultimately, and what Greg was going to, I think the takeaway tonight is building your foundation. Right. Mm-hmm. You know, so getting your gain structure, your initial setup correct. Because think of that as a foundation of your house. If you have a house and the foundation is failing, the whole house comes down. You know, so that's not good. And you can have whatever Band-Aids you want, and if the foundation fails, the whole house comes down, including the Band-Aids. You know, it might get you through one night or it might get you through a show, but not the right way to do it. I do want to mention something. When John Mahoney put that comment about the noise floor, that's exactly what we're talking about, like clean gain. Noise floor, for folks that may not know, that's the background noise in your channel mix. And, you know, again, the quality of your preamps and your mixer, the quality of the, you know, clean, that's why clean gain is important. You want to try to keep that low, and you want to try to keep the initial setup clean as can be, because as you add different things and different things come into the audio chain, you don't want to start with something that has a lot of noise at the very beginning of the chain, because then it goes right through the chain. You know, so you want to keep that clean. And again, different boards do it. That's why that cloud lifter is nice, because it's clean gain, doesn't introduce a lot of noise, and you keep that keep that noise floor low. And again, the noise floor is just the base of where you start hearing background noise in your, and hopefully it's very low, under 40 dB or 45. You want to keep it really low, but that's what he's referring to there. So
now there was a super chat here before we wind the show down here from Console Fanboy, and he's one of the guys that watch the show on a Friday. So I have to look over here so I can get the whole super chat here. It says, question, how can I get a very low sub channel like mine? Oh, how can I get my sub channel like mine to receive 5K views on one video? Is it the thumbnail? Is it the hashtags? Is it the title? Trying to repeat the pattern in the future videos, but it doesn't make sense. So I'm gonna answer this in one simple answer. Focus on your content, make your thumbnail that matches your content, and let the views come. There is no magic formula, despite who you pay, who is doing it. Make good content and people come. Just like this, you know, we're staying consistent. We're doing the show every week. We're bringing you guys content that you can use, and the community grows. That's, you know, the views are going to continue to grow. That's the only, there's no magic formula, guys. Do you agree?
Yeah. It'll consistency.
Okay, Greg.
No, just consistency and content. And then over time, you know, the community will develop. The audience will develop.
Yeah, I think Greg says it really well. I would add also is, you know, thumbnails are nice. You know, you want to, you know, doing a nice attractive thumbnail, that's an enhancement. Nice descriptive title, actually describing what the content's all about, nice enhancement. Your description, describe in the, especially in the first few words, what you want people to know about the video, describe what they're going to see, nice enhancement. All these things are nice enhancements. There are no magic formula. It's no like magic secret. How do I get 5,000 views if I just do this one thing in the title? No, I think Greg and Steven both said it right. Concentrate on your content. You know, do what makes sense with the thumbnail. You know, it can be imaginative thumbnail. You go around YouTube, you can get an idea of what's going on. Make it attractive where you want to make it attractive where people want to click on it. You know, so you can do things like that. Title, you know, make it descriptive.
Come
it's
on,
just
John Mahoney.
Common sense. What's, oh man, he's getting real geeky.
John Mahoney. Okay, Steven, I was going to crack open the egg, and you know what? John Mahoney's just like ripping. I was going to say, Steven and Marty, do you want me now to really upset everybody? Because we've talked for an hour on gain structure. We talked on signal flow. We've done a good overview, and we've discovered that this is a big need. And we will do more in-depth dives. There's old John. I had to drop the mic on him last week.
Oh, here we go. He's going to.
I got to drop the mic on him again.
Here
John
we go.
Mahoney, boom. Folks, you can have perfect audio. You could have Midas preamps. What's the Midas preamp? Just Google it. You could have the greatest of the great. You could have the greatest audio engineer sitting beside you doing everything. But if you've got bad electricity, bye-bye. Nothing you can do to fix it, honestly. So at the grand foundation, John Mahoney, spot on. You want clean electricity. And you're saying, okay, what does that mean? Well, ultimately, if you're going and shooting for the stars, you want dedicated circuits to your studio where your audio is running, and that means the power line that's coming from your breaker box is only coming and supporting sound. You never plug your lights into the same, you know, circuit where you are running computers or audio. You try to separate these out. It's creating that noise floor to be completely clean. I wasn't even going to go there, but John,
well, and that's it. So that's a whole other show we could talk about ground loops and.
But it's the reality.
It is
spot on. You can have gold in your studio. If you've got bad electricity, good luck.
Well, and
I'll go to Home Depot and get one of them little gray plugs.
Well, and we should really, the next time we talk about audio, is also talk about adapters. I know you sort of touched on it, but we really want to talk because everybody wants to cobble things together, and I've got stories about that.
stories.
Mike Phillips was talking to me about that, and I told him I have a cell tower nearby, and you've seen it, Greg. It's only, what, 200 yards away. Fortunately, it hasn't affected any of my sound equipment or anything like that, but that can be dangerous, too, for your audio and electrical and things like that with the magnetic pole. But again, getting really nerdy and geeky. We wanted to give you guys...
Well, I remember back in the day, and this company's now gone, but when I would travel to places and getting ready to play music, and I was going to this church or this place, and they go, oh, we need this little piece of equipment, and we're going to go get it for you. We'll be right back. I said, where are you going? We're going to Radio Shack. Radio Shack is not a musical production company. Don't you dare go to Radio Shack.
I used to like it if you needed it.
I lived in Radio. When I was a kid, I lived in Radio Shack.
Yep.
I would go in this. Oh, I loved it, but I would go in some places, man, and they had XLR plugged into a doubler, and then into this converter and into this converter, and you had this long rabbit tail of about a foot long going into their board, and they'll go, you know, Greg, I don't understand why it just doesn't sound good. I said, yeah, I don't have any idea. That just makes no sense. Nice input there with your 31 adapters.
I'll leave you with this. When I first started streaming, I had two mixers. It was a Samson mixer, which had like six inputs, and then I got this other, I think it was a JVC. And because the Samson had noise in it, I fed it into another mixer to use the effects in there to kill it, and then output that to a stream. So talk about nonsense. I didn't do anything. I just knew how to get rid of the noise, and it worked. But I was essentially, I had two mixers, and that mixer's one job was just to run the output to the stream. So believe me, when I say I cobbled things together, I've got stories where people just wanted to slap me upside the head when it came to audio, but that's how you learn, right?
Hey, it's all a work in progress.
Ladies and gentlemen,
all a work in progress.
Mr. Greg Terry from youtube.com/TheGregTerryExperience. Check him out every Tuesday and Friday. And you got a great show coming up this. Well, you had a good show the other day, too. I was watching that.
Well, there's a lot of stuff going on, lots of stuff to talk about. But hey, guys, I hope this has been a really encouraging program for you tonight. We will get more into this in the future. But just do not be discouraged. Be encouraged, because everybody can have good sound, and it's vitally important.
So absolutely, guys, make sure you hit. We're going to try to get the podcast back up and going where I can get it out there now that we've got things dialed in. But I didn't want to put it back out there until we knew. It's still a work in progress. We're still going to be tweaking things and making changes, but at least we're going in the right direction now. So we'll get it up. But make sure you subscribe to the YouTube channels of these guys and myself if you want to watch the show. Like the video. Leave a comment on the video. Tell us what you need help with. That really helps us tremendously by leaving a comment, even on this show, and say, man, we really enjoyed this talk on audio. We hope you deep dive. Or we'd really like it if you guys went into this. And even if we don't have the answers, I'll find somebody. I know enough people in the industry that I'll get them on the show. John Mahoney will probably come on anytime we ask him, and he knows a lot. So, and this time it'll have good audio. So that's something that we could do. So leave your comments. That's what we want to do this show for. If you have somebody in the, like I said, next week, we already scheduled the guy for the school. Then the following week, we'll continue the audio talk. But if you have educators that want to learn how to stream and what the challenges are, get them to watch the show next week. It'll be good. Marty McPadden, podjam.tv. If you need help with any kind of video and audio editing or podcasting, he's your guy.
Yep. Tons of work. And I want to emphasize your point about making the comments, because then we know what you guys want us to talk about. We love that. And that helps us out, and it helps you guys out too. We want to cover things that'll help you do better productions.
And it helps us also to give you some show and tell. We don't want to just talk about it. We want to give you examples like we did today to be able to show you, like when Greg was going through the vocal patterns, to be able to show you exactly what he's talking about. So leave those comments. We really appreciate you guys. We have this faithful community that's here. Endless One Up, Rainwater, Rexer, Hollywood, all you guys. And if I miss some, I apologize. But all you guys that come out every week to watch this show and learn more and how to better your broadcast. I mean, that's the whole point of broadcast now. So I encourage you guys, Brad has been putting the link in the chat room. If you didn't get it, we have a Broadcast Now community on Facebook. You can go in there and ask questions, and other people besides us that have skills and talents in broadcasting can answer those questions. No matter how mundane you think the question is. Remember, I thought I saw it in the chat room earlier. The only stupid question is the question that you don't ask. So if we can help you in that fashion, that's what we want to do. So, guys, until next time, keep buzzing.